So Sligo CIL was formed in 1996 by a group of people from the Sligo area who were living with a physical disability. And at that point, it was part of the CIL movement whereby people were actually looking to take more control over their care that was being offered by the HSE. So in essence, basically, people wanted to be able to decide how the care was going to be, what care they were having and how it was going to be delivered and when and that type of stuff. So it has grown since then into an organisation. This was predominantly the change. Big shifts happened in the mid-teens, 20-teens. We had a new board member, Rosaline Doonan, who really pushed hard for the organisation to start delivering more around its original ethos, or so in other words, to actually deliver for people with a disability meaningful projects. So she was a huge catalyst in the history of CIL in more recent times. I came on board in 2017 and was given a directive. They wanted to deliver meaningful projects, predominantly around integration and assimilation for individuals living with disability of any type in the community. It was brilliant for me. I had carte blanche to kind of go wherever I wanted. There was full backing, a huge amount of support and some funding there, as well as funding that I would be able to draw down, which we did.
What are the services that you do? You've a multifaceted element of Sligo CIL. What are the different elements that make up your organisation?
Okay, so the bottom line, the piece that's always been there is the provision of home support services to people living with a disability. So it started off, it was physical and sensory disability only. That grew in recent times to delivering the similar service to people living with an intellectual disability in the community. And then also to people living with an enduring mental illness in the community. And alongside that, we do an agency type support to the group homes for people living with an intellectual disability in this area as well. So that kind of is the business. That's our day-to-day bread and butter that we have always delivered and that we continue to deliver. I think what's a little bit different about us, or we hope it's a little bit different, is the manner in which our staff are trained and the way in which we give direction about always understanding the person first, and understanding this person has their own wishes, their own interests, their own the things they like, things they don't like. Check, understand this person is no different to you. Now, from that, we have generated some funding over recent years, and we've also drawn down funding from different sources. So we now run a community integration space. So that directive from the board to say, let's start delivering more for our service users, it has actually evolved into a community space. It's not a cafe. It's not a bar. We don't have food. We have a free cup of tea or coffee. That's the beginning and end of the feeding part of it. But what we have created is a place that's about using our creative selves and creative activities to find those spaces where we are actually all the same. They're also, we run a lot of workshops, and they're about making it very easy for somebody to come into our space by themselves and join in and be part of a group that's kind of a loosely formed group. So it's not a threatening group. Everybody who runs a workshop here understands the need to grade what they do and to be able to be respectful of different people's communication styles and time that's needed maybe to generate responses and that type of stuff. So it's very gentle, it's very easy, but when we do it like that, we find that we get the best of people. People are more relaxed, they're able to be themselves, their confidence grows, they're more able to partake, blah, blah, blah. It's a great circle and it just keeps growing. So that's one project. The second project that we do would be we offer subsidised alternative therapies for anybody who's living with a disability. They'll be heavily subsidised. Our therapists are really highly rated local therapists who would have many years of experience of working with people with disabilities, so they're very able to accommodate who they're meeting and understand what what might be needed. The therapies are not talk therapies. They're not heavy juice physical therapies. They're nurturing therapies. They're the Reiki, they're craniosacral therapy, they're reflexology, they're Indian head massage. They're stuff that actually allows people just to feel very nurtured, very relaxed and de-stressed. They seem to work hugely for across the board, and a lot of that's a very popular service that we run. And then the third one would be our Clublandia project, which is party nights out, DJs and live bands, three or four times a year, for a whole community. Again, it's not for, but we will have a good cohort of our own staff around on the night, just to ensure that it's a respectful place for everybody. And that really resonates. It's lovely. It's a joy. It's a place of sheer joy and fun, and it's just a great night out. So that's the bulk. And then on top of that, we do all the normal stuff, like, you know, supporting people with smaller needs that might, you know, a trip to somewhere, you know, Christmas gifts, you know, party nights out for staff and for service users in the past, birthday cards to service users. We do a lot of all little bits and pieces as well that go into helping people know that they're not alone, that we do care, we do like them, we do enjoy them. That's kind of who we are.
That's exactly, and I've got a flavour being here today in the 45 premises of what you do and your personality and your identity. You do a lot. Would you like to be able to do more?
Yes. Yes, we would like to be able to do more, but at the moment we're kind of tired. So the thoughts of more feels a bit scary at the minute. But yes, we will. It's not that we would like to. I know we will. We just have to kind of embed it. Like, we had that whole hiatus of COVID. We've come through that. Everything is actually finding its feet again. We do have to, I have to keep an eye on the business part of our organization, because that's actually what funds everything else. And that's how we can actually move forward into the future with confidence, knowing that we're not dependent on finding a grant somewhere to make something happen. And so, yes, we will mind 45 and allow it. It's pretty much it's a fairly mature project at this stage. We have 55 to 65 guests every day, and most of them will stay for about 2 hours or whatever. There's a whole range of workshops, from poetry to Spanish to music to sing along to, oh my God, I'm forgetting half of them. You know, music kind of stuff. The you know, music exploration. There was poetry. There was a philosophy one. There's lots. And then every day there's so much happening on our art table. There's stuff being created there that's phenomenal. And sometimes it's phenomenal because you're looking at who's creating and you're kind of going, oh my God, if that was me, I wouldn't even be able to consider, you know, getting close to what you're doing here. And look at your choice of colours and look at how you're doing it. And there's so much magic happens that we know we will expand. But what that's going to look like, I'm not quite sure just right now, but it will happen. It will happen. So, yeah, we will do more. But, you know, we've done a lot in a short length of time. And I just want to be able to bed some of that in for a while, for definitely for the rest of this year and possibly into early next year. And then we'll see.
You mentioned the bedding down again after COVID, and part of that is around recruitment and retention of staff and the challenges for all Section 39 organisations. How are you managing with those challenges?
Like everybody else, we're struggling for an awful lot of our services, and we put in a big effort to try and be as supportive of our staff. We have absolute respect for our staff. We have increased wages as to as far as we can, and we will continue to do that. And I push very hard personally on that whole thing about recognizing that people at the very, very, very front line, and our staff are the very first people meet every morning, need to be valued. We struggle like everybody else. We have this one extra stream that an awful lot of other people wouldn't have access to, that CE group, because most of our people who come onto our scheme will do healthcare skills. And I think there's a vibe amongst an awful lot of the local healthcare workers that we're a nice crew to work with. And I hope that remains. And I hope it's because we try and be as respectful towards all our staff as we are towards anybody else that we meet. We value, and we genuinely, very genuinely value their huge work. It's hard work they do. they work very, very hard. And
Maria, as you said, it is hard work. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of compliance. There's a lot of regulations. What keeps you going?
Yeah, just seeing what we do. It's as simple as that. You just have to walk out the front and you will never be short of a lift. You will see people and you will know that, yeah, we're helping them be their best self. And that's a big, huge thing to be able to do. So, yeah, that's why we do it.